Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 51 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Sean Delaney.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Someone from the outside was trying to introduce contraband in the jail and maybe using one of the deputy jailers to do that.
One person was arrested last night following a drug smuggling investigation at the Rowan County Detention Center.
Teacher protests continue after Governor Matt Bevin's recent comments calling them thugs.
County officials are still pushing to buy MSU's former Sunnybrook golf course.
In sports, the Kentucky Wildcats are out of the tournament.
Bud Lucan's the stock report.
There's a chance of rain and snow showers tonight with a low around 31. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Teachers across Kentucky continue to engage in protests this week against the GOP's pension reform bill. After apologizing for calling these protesters, quote, selfish and ignorant last week, Governor Matt Bevin now says their actions represent, quote, a thug mentality. Greenup County teachers took the comment in stride, wearing shirts that read, hashtag thug life, during a protest on Thursday evening. They have turned the word into an acronym meaning teachers having a unified goal. Greenup County High School teacher Lauren Carr attended the protest. Lawmakers in Frankfort are now trying to negotiate a new state budget, keeping in mind that the state is at least $41 billion short of what it needs to pay the pension fund over the next 30 years.
Hundreds of students across Kentucky will, quote, march for their lives this weekend as part of a nationwide protest against gun violence. Mary Sherman has more.
They'll be joining the survivors of the Parkland, Florida high school shooting, who will take to the streets of Washington, D.C. to urge Congress to pass gun control measures. Forrest Clevenger of DuPont Manual High School says in the wake of all the mass shootings, including one in Marshall County that left two people dead and more than a dozen injured, students and teachers are fearing for their lives and asking questions that should never have to be asked.
I got in touch with my friends asking if I know which way the doors open at school, because if they open out, you can't barricade them from the inside. You have teachers going out and preparing themselves for shooters. People have bought chains for their doors, ladders for their windows. Not right, and we've had enough.
The Louisville March begins at 1:30 p.m. At least 10 similar marches are scheduled across Kentucky, including in Bowling Green, Lexington, Marshall County, and Pikeville. Opponents of gun control measures say they aren't effective tools for preventing gun violence and infringe on Americans' Second Amendment rights. Mary Sherman reporting.
Kentucky schools need to be smarter about how schools are secured. That's according to Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin. Bevin tells WLKY he's been meeting with the victims of the Marshall County shootings as well as lawmakers and police to discuss school safety. He says children are scared to go to school because nothing is being done.
What they want is to be safe. They want to feel safe and be safe. They want security that comes with being able to focus, not be afraid, and be able to learn in a safe environment.
Bevin is calling on lawmakers to get serious about school safety.
Members of the Kentucky House and Senate met today to begin negotiation on the next two-year state spending plan. The Senate passed its version of House Bill 200 on Tuesday. It features no added taxes and more cuts across multiple levels of government compared to the House version. Republican Senator Chris McDaniel chairs the conference committee.
Now, I'm very, very happy that our colleagues in the House were so diligent in getting us a budget. I believe that we were diligent in getting it back to them in a reasonable amount of time. And ultimately, as we negotiate this, I think it'll yield a better product for the citizens of Kentucky.
Legislators are looking to pass the bill before the veto period begins on March 29th. By passing and agreeing to a budget before the deadline, the legislature will retain their constitutional veto override.
A bill banning certain abortions in Kentucky may soon become law. The proposal was approved by the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. They will prohibit an abortion after 11 weeks if it results in the dismemberment of the fetus. Senator Whitney Westerfield chairs the committee.
No one talks about how callous it is for the life that is destroyed. The cost of money? It's worth challenging precedent.
Opponents of the bill say it would ban the most common method of second trimester abortions. Grayson Democrat Robin Webb stormed out of the room after skipping the vote.
And I'm tired of the demagoguery, and I'm tired of being used in this political debate.
I don't pass.
The bill has already been passed by the House. It will now move on to the full Senate.
Law enforcement officials in Rowan County expect more charges and arrests following a drug smuggling investigation at the Rowan County Detention Center. Last night, 24-year-old Julie Nipp was arrested after police say she dropped off drugs to an unidentified guard. Rowan County Chief Deputy Joe Klein says jail officials received a tip that someone was trying to introduce narcotics to prisoners through the guard. He says his deputies observed Nipp give the guard a container.
It was under surveillance from the information that we had. We were able to watch and investigate and see if the information we had received was factual, and we found out that it was.
The container reportedly contained heroin, methamphetamine, and tobacco. They believe 31-year-old Alicia Fultz, an inmate at the jail, was involved in the operation. The guard has been placed on unpaid administrative leave until the conclusion of the investigation.
Former UK basketball player and agricultural commissioner Richie Farmer was arrested for DUI yesterday. WKYT reports 48-year-old Farmer was booked into the Laurel County Detention Center around 6:30 p.m. Farmer had previously pled guilty to government corruption charges in 2013 for mishandling state resources, including having state workers construct a basketball court for him at his house. And we'll take another look at that news coming up after these messages.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Government officials in Kentucky could discuss public business on their personal devices without having to disclose it, according to a surprise amendment moving quickly through the state legislature. A legislative committee amended House Bill 302 on Wednesday to change the definition of public record to say it shall not include calls, text messages, and emails if they are sent or received on a device paid for with private funds or a non-government email account. Open government advocates compared it to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton using a private server for her email, a practice also used by Republican presidential administrations. Republican Senator Damon Thayer sponsored the amendment. He called it a privacy protection and said it was not his intent for officials to get around the state's open records law.
The U.S. Senate is honoring a Kentucky gold medalist. Representing the United States at the 2018 Winter Paralympic Games' closing ceremonies was 28-year-old Osana Masters. Masters brought back two gold medals this time, bringing her gold medal count to five. Senator Mitch McConnell spoke Tuesday about how Masters suffered from significant birth defects caused by the Chernobyl disaster.
She underwent a number of medical procedures at a young age, including the amputation of both of her legs. But that hadn't stopped her. Regardless of the obstacle, I'm happy to report that Oksana once again achieved her goal.
McConnell acclaimed Masters as a, quote, fine representative for the Commonwealth and for the United States.
The deadline to negotiate retirement for faculty and staff at Moorhead State University passed last week, and President Jay Morgan is happy with the outcome so far. The university presented a call for those willing to make the move last month in response to an expected $4.5 million deficit that is expected for the 2018-2019 school year. Morgan says the more people that choose to retire, the bigger the savings for the university.
It could be substantive. Right now, you know, if we could find 20 people, you know, it depends on what salary level they're at. Some might yield significant results and some might, be a little less significant financially.
Morgan says he is hopeful to find as much as $1.5 million in savings through the voluntary separation agreements.
The $49 million expansion and renovation of Moorhead State's Adrian Doran University Center is not just about fixing that building and its interior. Shayla Ring is the spokeswoman for the MSU Department of Facilities Management. According to Ring, as part of the project, Baton Oaks Drive on Adux's west side will remain closed to through traffic and a plaza area will be created there.
And this is kind of an overall view of what Moorhead State University wants to do with our main campus, which is make it more pedestrian and bicycle friendly so that our students can kind of traverse campus in a more safe and effective way. So that plaza area on the on the west side beside Lappin and Combs is closed and will have some seating.
There will also be some green space located in that area where MSU student organizations will be allowed to set up. The ADUC project is expected to be completed in the fall.
A Louisville architectural firm is studying ways to help grow Moorhead's downtown. The city hired Luckett and Farley last year after naming part of its central business district as a TIF district. TIF districts offer tax breaks to developers willing to build in designated parts of a municipality. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says a representative from LNF has been looking at different ways to help Moorhead maximize the potential of its downtown, which has some open spaces and a diversity of building styles.
Can we redevelop that? Can we look at this? What if there's other properties out there like the Big Dig, for example? Other things like that. What can we do to leverage with what we're doing downtown to enhance everything? So that's what we like about them. You know, they're coming in. They're not just looking at going in and doing, just a typical, well, we'll fill this space. They're looking at how they can redevelop the whole area and get it all to work together.
Officials from Moorhead have been talking to developers interested in building a downtown hotel, which could also lead to restaurants and specialty shops being constructed around it.
The department at an Ashland hospital has received an honor. WMKY's Ted McCourt has more.
The Diabetes and Wound Care Center at Our Lady of Bellefonte received a recognition certificate from the American Diabetes Association. The prestigious honor recognizes programs that offer high-quality education essentials to the effective diabetes treatment and have a staff of health professionals who can provide comprehensive information about diabetes management. The certification from ADA is awarded for 4 years. According to 2017 statistics from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there were 30.3 million Americans suffering from diabetes. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Ted McCourt.
The American Diabetes Association is gearing up for its annual Tour de Cure on May 19th. The event allows anyone to come to the Keeneland Racecourse in Lexington and walk, run, or bike to raise awareness for diabetes. Co-chairman Andy Shea says he lost his aunt to the disease, so this event is near and dear to his heart.
She was the most amazing, full-of-life person, and this horrible disease took her life. So for me personally, as well as my whole family, really finding a cure for diabetes is an A1 goal for us.
Shea says the event will feature cycling routes, a 5K run and walk, and a 1 mile fun walk. For more information or to donate, visit diabetes.org/Kentucky Tour.
Saying he feels like a luge driver heading downhill, retiring Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins is still pushing for the county and city of Moorhead to buy Moorhead State University's former Sunnybrook golf course. While expressing an interest in the 200-acre property in recent years as the possible site for a new recreation park, both City Council and the Rowan County Fiscal Court now say there's no money to buy that land and pay the millions needed to upgrade its infrastructure. MSU wants $350,000 for Sunnybrook, and Blevins believes that spending that much money would be a good investment for the area's future recreation needs.
We're not going to find that kind of property at that price to do economic development or especially recreation development. But right now the city, they don't think they can afford it, and my court doesn't want to take the whole responsibility on. But I wish the people out there would get on the phone, talk to the mayor, talk to their city council, talk to my court, and let them know that we need to buy that property. It doesn't need to go into private hands, turn into a trailer park.
Blevin says 100 acres of the Sunnybrook property are wooded, and the timber from them could be sold to help cut the site's purchase price in half.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for tonight, there's a 30% chance of rain and snow showers, increasing clouds with a low around 31. On Saturday, expect a high near 37. There's a 100% chance of rain and snow showers with accumulation of 1 to 3 inches possible. On Saturday night, there's a 90% chance of rain and snow, becoming all snow after midnight, low around 30. Looking at temperatures around the region, it's currently 52 degrees in Ashland and Lexington. It's 49 degrees in Flemingsburg. It's 51 degrees in Winchester and Inez, and it is 51 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
4:45 the time. You're tuned in to Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. This is Morning Edition. It's good to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. On our feature segment today, when former supporters begin openly criticizing political party royalty, someone had better start ordering a cake. Here's commentator John Modaff.
If you're like a lot of people, you read a spectrum of newspapers to be aware of what other people are saying. So that's why people read the New York Times, the Washington Post, USA Today, and the LA Times. These four papers are not generally known as well-balanced, all listing a bit to the left, but they just so happen to be the top four papers in readership in the United States, so they're worth a good look, despite their proclivities. Number three, USA Today, impresses me as the most baldly liberal, a paper that doesn't even bother trying to hide its Trumpophobia, a common and well-earned disease among journalists. The top two papers at least pretend and occasionally do behave as if they were balanced. But for USA Today ever to publish anything critical of a liberal politician, say, such as former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, well, that's extraordinary and worthy of a look, especially when they might be getting the story wrong. In an op-ed by Christian Schneider, member of USA Today's Board of Contributors, Mrs. Clinton is taken out to the woodshed for her post-election rancor and endless tripping about her loss to that other guy. She wrote a book, she gives speeches, she takes high-profile trips, she snickers on awards shows and late-night talk. She's everywhere, it seems, and some Democrats, like Schneider, are getting more than nervous. They're getting blunt. They want her to go. Schneider's March 16th piece lays out a case that Democrats should file a restraining order against Hillary Clinton, just like the voters did in 2008 and 2016. He says this after listing her offenses against the electorate, against the demographers, against her own staff, the DNC, and against, most shockingly, women who voted for Trump. Her arguments, always questioned by her opponents, are now being openly questioned by former supporters, even up to the liberal press that has been part of the magic carpet she's been riding for years. Put simply, when you are a Democrat royalty and USA Today comes after you, you may be done. And that is sad for her, possibly for us. But equally interesting is her unacknowledged war, a war she may be winning. The focus has been on her losing so much we may have been missing what could be her real reason for saying the sorts of things she did in India last week and in the months before, things that occasionally hurt the party. Perhaps she wants Democrats to be hurt a little bit. What better way to strike back at the party that, among other sources, she blames for her loss? Travel the world condemning women, condemning party workers, condemning everyone who didn't come out for her loss, while rendering herself immune from criticism, but making the party look backward in every possible meaning of that phrase. It may not be just her refutation or rebuttal she's about. It may be Mrs. Clinton's revenge, and she may not be done yet.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University, and you're tuned into Mountain Edition at 4:48. Tilden Johnson has been keeping the eye on the sports headlines. He's coming up after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
That's it for the Cats. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tolden Johnson. The Kentucky basketball team is dealing with a disappointing end to its season. UK lost last night to Kansas State 61-58 in a physical foul-plagued Sweet 16 AA tournament contest in Atlanta. It was a bumpy ride at times this year for Coach John Calipari's young Wildcats, but in the end he called the experience rewarding both individually and collectively.
Wish it could have ended in another week, but you know, for me to see how individual players got better, for me to see how this team came together, for me to see Jared in, Jared out, all the stuff that went on with injuries, and they hung in there and played a bunch of freshmen. I mean, I thought they really performed.
UK shot just 38% in losing last night, also making just 23 of 37 free throw opportunities. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a chance to tie the game at the final buzzer, but missed a three. The madness continues tonight with the final games of the Sweet 16 being played. In the East Regional, it's going to be number 1 Villanova taking on number 5 West Virginia at 7:27, and third-ranked Texas Tech is taking on number 2 Purdue at 9:57. In the Midwest Regional, it'll be number 1 Kansas and number 5 Clemson at 7:07, and the team that was tied with Loyola Chicago as the lowest seed in the Sweet 16, Syracuse, who's sitting at number 11, is taking on second-ranked Duke at 9:37. Elite Eight games start tomorrow with number 9 Kansas, number 11 Loyola Chicago, number 9 Florida State, and third-ranked Michigan taking part. The Morehead State baseball team is in Richmond looking to build on its 4-2 OVC record. The Eagles are playing a doubleheader against rival Eastern Kentucky. The Eagles are currently losing 9-3. The second game starts at 5. Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles started the day as winners of 6 in a row. After a slow start, McGuire says MSU's potent offense is heating up, and he says that's helped that his hitters are making more consistent contact.
Last weekend against Belmont, we only struck out about 12 times on the weekend. Against SEMO the weekend before was the same thing, and you saw it midweek, and midweek this week, we don't have that many strikeouts, and when you make teams defend, I think that that's in our favor.
After playing 2 games today, the Eagles and Colonels will wrap up their series on Sunday with a single game. The Morehead State softball team started OVC play earlier today at home with a doubleheader against Austin Peay. The Eagles lost their 1 o'clock game 3-1 against Austin Peay, and they are currently tied 3-3 in their second game. With his team now focused on competing for a possible conference title, MSU coach David Williams says the Eagles need to focus on doing the things that make them successful.
If we start trying to do too much, then, that might hurt us a little bit. But if we're just confident in what we can do and just play within our own abilities, I think we'll be fine. But I do feel good about our chances this year. I think, we've got a lot of seniors, a lot of experience, and hopefully that bodes well as we enter conference play.
The MSU softball team is also scheduled for a Sunday doubleheader at University Field against Murray State. The Cincinnati Reds started play against the Rockies a little after 4 down in their spring training camp in Arizona. They are currently up 1-0. The Redlegs moved up to 10-15 in the Cactus League after last night's 7-6 win against the Rangers. Spring practices for the Morehead State football team will start Monday at Jane Stadium. Coach Rob Tenure says that's when MSU will begin the process of improving on last fall's disappointing 4-7 finish.
I can sit here and make excuses about, injuries and things like that last year. It was a rough year for us regarding that. But at the end of the day, technically, we've got to be much better across the board, and we've got to be a more consistent football team. And whether you're talking about offense or defense, the kicking game, everything needs to be better.
The football Eagles will practice a total of 14 times between Monday and their spring inter-squad game, which has been slated for Saturday, April 21st. The Kentucky football team's spring practices are continuing. Associate head coach and offensive coordinator Eddie Grand says the one thing that he's not doing this spring is experimenting much with the Wildcats' offensive line.
There's really not enough to make that happen. We're working a lot of guys at center, like John always does. But other than that, we've got it too deep, basically. And, after that, you don't have anything. So just mostly at the center position.
The Cats will hold their annual blue-white spring game on Friday, April 13th at Commonwealth Stadium. And lastly in sports, NFL owners will be presented with 10 rules proposals at their meetings next week, including changes to the catch rule and to the length of defensive pass interference penalties, and allowing personal fouls to be reviewed by instant replay. The competition committee and several teams are bringing the proposals, which will be reviewed by owners beginning Monday in Orlando. The Panthers have signed 3 potential starters in the second wave of free agency. Carolina signed safety Denoris Searcy and cornerback Ross Cockrell to 2-year contracts on Friday. Philadelphia Eagle Malcolm Jenkins says NFL players using their platform to discuss social issues will encourage other athletes to get involved in issues affecting their communities.
Jenkins and other members of the Players Coalition spoke Friday during an event at Harvard Law School. The Players Coalition is a group of NFL athletes advocating for changes to further social and racial equality. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Softball begins OVC action this weekend against Austin Peay and Murray State, with games at noon and 2 p.m. both tomorrow and Sunday. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply, adding to their steep weekly losses as investors assess the possibility of a trade war brewing between the U.S. and China. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 424.69 at 23,533.20. The S&P 500 was down 55.43 at 2588.26. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 174.01 at 6992.67. Financials were particularly weak as the financial sector was down 3% within the S&P 500. And week to date, the major averages posted their worst week since January of 2016. The Dow and S&P 500 dropped 5.7% and 5.9% respectively, while the NASDAQ pulled back 6.5%. And of course, yesterday, President Trump pressed ahead with long-promised anti-China charges as the U.S. president signed an executive memorandum that will impose tariffs on up to $60 billion in Chinese imports. In response, China's Commerce Ministry proposed a list of 128 U.S. products as potential retaliation targets, according to a statement on its website that was posted early this morning. Stocks briefly rebounded earlier today after the president said he signed the $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill into law, despite threatening to veto the legislation earlier in the day. Trump signed the bill but made his distaste for the rush process known. In corporate news, shares of Dow component Nike rose slightly after the apparel company reported better-than-expected earnings. Nike got a boost from sales in Greater China, which rose 24% during the third quarter. As might be expected, overseas markets were affected by the talk of the tariff yesterday from President Trump. In Europe, the Stock 600 index was down 0.9%, and in Asia, stocks were slammed, with the Nikkei in Tokyo down 4.5% and the Shanghai Composite down 3.38%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.6%, finishing at $65.98 a barrel. Gold was up 1.5% at $1,347.40 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the only two that finished with gains today were Boeing and Nike, while the worst performers were Dow, DuPont, and 3M. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Foot Locker and Newmont Mining, while the worst performers were Western Digital and Micron Technology. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 23 cents at $67.95, CSX down $1.02 at $54.27, AEP down 97 cents at $66.39, AK Steel down 11 cents at $4.39, Marathon Petroleum down $1.68 at $71.29, and Community Trust Bank was down $1.40, finishing at 44 and a quarter. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, there's a 30% chance of rain and snow showers, increasing clouds with a low around 31. On Saturday, highs near 37. There's a 100% chance of rain and snow showers with accumulation of 1 to 3 inches possible. On Saturday night, that percentage goes down to 90% for rain and snow, lows around 30. On Sunday, mostly sunny skies with highs near 47 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy with lows around 34. On Monday, partly sunny, highs near 54. And on Monday night, there's a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with lows around 41. And lastly, on Tuesday, there's a 40% chance of showers, highs near 61. On Tuesday night, 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with lows around 49. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's currently 52 degrees in Lexington and Ashland. It's 49 degrees in Flemingsburg, 51 in Winchester and Inez, and it's 51 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.